The serum isn't working. The bronzer isn't working. The contour isn't working. I'm not getting my six-pack abs. Oh, I'm a horrible person.
Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to Thani the podcast, and I am Sadia Tariq. I'm delighted to share with you a brief conversation with Imam Suhaib Webb. Imam Suhaib William Webb has a degree in education from the University of Central Oklahoma and Islamic law from Al-Azhar in Cairo. He was named as a faith leader to watch by the Center for American Progress in 2016, selected by the Muslim community as one of CNN's 25 most influential leaders, as well as one of the 500 of the most influential Muslims by the Royal Islamic Studies Center in 2021. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Webb. We're back with our second section.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
On fasting and I would like to ask you right away the effect of fasting on our mental and emotional well-being.
I think that depends on the person. For some people, fasting definitely can be a way of building confidence, right? Increasing sort of this notion that, hey, I can actually do something. You know, I'm able to pull something off. I'm able to, you know, people think they're horrible people because they're constantly bombarded with images that tell them if you don't look perfect, as defined and constructed by Western sort of the Western ethos of beauty, then you're deficient, right? We are bombarded in a society, global sort of monoculture that has made our complete sum total value based on what we look like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Prophet said that Allah doesn't look at your shapes and sizes, He looks at your hearts and your deeds. Doesn't mean that we don't care for aesthetics, of course we do, but we locate aesthetics as salt on the meat, not the meat. And the world we live in now is making the main course, to the extent that people have done so many surgeries on themselves to look a certain way. So the altar of transmodernity is the existential. And Islam, it's very different. And Islam certainly values the outer, but locates the value of the outer as being the illumination found from the inner. And so month of Ramadan teaches us to cut a lot of those things back and to parse them, if you will, so that we can grow. And that leads to a sense of emancipation and confidence that people may have never experienced before, especially if they're always looking at the mirror and wondering if they're worth anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think also it depends on a person's mental and emotional health. Someone, for example, has a history of eating disorders, bulimia, anorexia, or depression. Again, they're going to need to talk with their physician if they have compulsive behavior, compulsive disorders, on Adderall or things of that nature. They may need to reach out to their physician to see, is fasting actually maybe going to trigger negative emotional responses? The third are people, and this is going to sound strange, who were abused by religious people. And oftentimes people that have been unfortunately sexually abused, physically assaulted, emotionally abused by quote unquote, because these are not religious people, these are devils, right? They're wolves. In religious clothing, people may have a strange reaction to acts of worship. And so that's where we need to think about being there to help them, having partnerships with clinicians, working with imams and teachers to sort of help people. That I know a few cases of people who've been abused and then had trouble praying or fasting because they would sort of be reminded of the abuser. Then we have people that are sort of overcome with tremendous guilt, right? Like pregnant women and breastfeeding women who are excused from fasting, menstruating women who are accused from fasting, women that are going through postpartum depression maybe and bleeding are excused from fasting. And so we need to, like, sometimes the community doesn't welcome these people, like it doesn't let them. Or culture, not community. Certain cultures, like, they may need to eat. They may need to just live their regular life. And people in the home may tell them, oh, what are you doing? This is wrong. Well, it's not wrong for them. In fact, the Prophet said, if someone who needs to eat in front of you eats while you're fasting, the angels make dua for you. So we need to recognize, and elderly people who can no longer fast also sometimes experience some depression. So we need to make sure like we're centering moments around these people as well. And then finally, there's the person who is deluded by their fasting. We ask God to protect us. And those are people who, well, I'm fasting, I can do whatever I want. Right? I'm fasting. So since I'm fasting, I can misbehave. And that's someone who is being intoxicated by their own sort of narcissism, right? Fasting is not a license to be bad. Fasting is a catalyst for doing good. Mm. So I think your question depends on the person.
Indeed, indeed. You know, Imam Howard said that when during the month, the devil is behind bars. But there are many instances where during the month we might say something wrong, do something wrong. We might sort of not, whilst talking to somebody, and because we're sort of hangry, we just, our tone goes up and we're irritable and we're annoyed and we're angry. So how, and sometimes these sort of out of boundary acts are often because it's perhaps a whisper from Satan, but when that entity is behind, is controlled, and we have this these kind of outbursts coming from us, what is really happening?
We're just being ourselves. Doesn't mean that just because the shaitans are chained, we're not going to be bad people. We can't blame shaitan for everything. So it's an opportunity for us to take responsibility for ourselves. We can't outsource responsibility. So that's why in books of fiqh, if somebody were to do evil, they couldn't say shaitan made me do it.
Yeah.
That's why we don't believe that possession happens in a way where a person's completely taken over, like in Western sort of horror movies. Somebody that loses their ability to function is not considered possessed. They're considered mentally compromised. So possession is a different conversation, but in this regard, during the month of Ramadan, well, I need to work on myself, right? Mm. And I need to.
So it happens to be like an emotional mirror as well for some, those who might want to see it.
Yeah, just or just angry.
And sir, coming to my last question for this episode, I wanted to ask you how fasting helps us to deal with the diseases of the heart. I mean, greed, yes, we understand. That's a very obvious manifestation because you control your appetite. But what about other things? What about envy? What about jealousy? What about lust?
No. So those are things that are going to sort of come together through worship, right? And that's the purpose of devotion and learning and community. So certainly this is a time of year that we're, as I said, I think in the first segment, we're abstaining from the permissible. So that should give us the motivation then to push on and become more disciplined. One of the challenges I find in this age is the pity party. Everyone feels sorry for themselves because they put very high material goals in front of themselves. That is largely set by the barometer of popular culture or the thermostat of popular culture. So everyone's angry. Everyone's mad. They don't feel accomplished and fulfilled because they don't look like whoever they want to look like. You know, the serum isn't working. The bronzer isn't working. The contour isn't working. I'm not getting my six-pack abs. Oh, I'm a horrible person. That's a very shallow life.
Indeed.
It's extremely
Indeed.
Shallow. Mm. So Islam is reef, especially with the month of Ramadan, is saying actually like the more that you let go of these things, actually the more you grow. Like the more that you untether yourself from sort of these things, the more you'll find the weight will be light enough for you to move forward. So definitely fasting and increasing our worship and our reflections and our learning, engagement, and being around family. You know, family is very important. Around friends is going to help mediate many of the things that you just mentioned.
Yet again, thank you very much, Zakala, for all your time and all your absolute wonderful wisdom and sharing all of that with us.
Thank you so much, Barakallahu Fikum.